The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
the beast.
We're told in the Book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Is that an angel?
Satan! Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other, I will oppose you.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
Broadcasting from a town where, as far as we know, there are no UFOs hanging in the air. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. I don't know. I haven't looked outside lately.
You know, it's awfully cloudy outside, as for the first time in about 10 weeks, it's actually rained.
I don't know what those dark, hovery things are up there.
I think they're called...
And they're leaking.
Clouds. I had to look it up.
No.
But I'm pretty sure...
It don't rain in Indianapolis in the summer.
And apparently not into the early fall either. Well, greetings. Today is 10-13, October 13th, 2010, and it rained for the first time in weeks.
I'd say that's a sign right there.
Probably so. And as we record this, it's probably raining in Cincinnati now, so which is right and proper since they got knocked out of the playoffs in three games.
You know what else? God did create little green apples because, as I told someone on Facebook today, they are rotting in our backyard.
Yeah, and they've been all year.
Oh, yeah.
Well, today is the day that, according to a retired NORAD officer, or at least that's his claim, we're supposed to see a massive UFO unveiling, revelation, apocalypse, if you want to use that word, in the sense that apocalypsos means unveiling, around the world today. The major cities are supposed to be visited by waves of unidentified flying objects. He believes them to be craft from other worlds. So far, the only city we know that's reporting anything like this is New York City, it figures. Let's just say skeptical or trained observers are saying, yeah, they look like Mylar balloons, actually. So, but the New York Daily News is reporting on it. Mysterious, shiny objects floating over New York City today sparked wild speculation of UFOs. And the YouTube video does make it look like somebody just let go of a handful of balloons.
You know what I want to know? All day long, on just about every news channel that I could find, we saw coverage of, honestly, a really wonderful event, and that is the miners in Chile have seen the light of day. They've been brought back up to the surface and reunited with their loved ones.
Which is a wonderful story.
It's a wonderful story. And, in fact, I was watching CNN this afternoon, so they at this point they had enough footage that they had actually edited it together along with music. So it had become a promo package. And and it was... The music was hypnotic. It was sort of like, it reminded me a bit of Halloween. You know, that little piano riff that was very simple that John Carpenter wrote for Halloween.
Right, right.
It was like that. It's the kind of thing that, and Tubular Bells is the same way from The Exorcist. It was music that drew me into the television, and even though I found the music consciously annoying, I still watched, and finally I broke free of that, and I thought, good heavens, I'm being manipulated here. And at the same time, I thought, oh, wait a minute.
What else
is really going on? Mm-hmm. What sleight of hand took place today?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. One of the big stories certainly that that I'm not sure has really trickled down to the level of the average person in the street yet is the massive bank fraud that's been perpetrated on the world by the American banking system. And we're seeing just little dribs and drabs of this come out as they talk about, clerical errors, and we're having to review our foreclosure proceedings. You know, the big four banks, which hold an estimated $7 trillion in assets that are backing these mortgage-backed securities. But there are trillions, literally trillions of dollars of these securities floating around out there in the portfolios of retirement funds and what's the word I'm looking for? Not retirement fund, but also
hedge funds.
Yeah, hedge funds to some extent. I guess retirement fund is the word I'm looking
for. Hedgehog funds.
What's the, you know, when you get your payout after you retire, your pension funds. Yeah, retirement. Well, same thing as retirement fund, I guess. But anyway, there's trillions of dollars worth out there.
Social Security,
which is something else we might talk about. Yeah, yeah. Don't know if we want to go there and spend that much time on this today. But,
no, not really.
Anyway, that may be part of this because there are congressmen who are making some noises out there that if the banks were really forced to take back the bad paper, that they would I mean, they're trying not to say be bankrupt, but that's what they mean. It's like, well, this is more than they could handle. Well, that's a nice way of saying that these things are worthless and they would be bankrupt if they had to take back these pieces of paper that were fraudulently put out to and foisted onto these well-meaning investors. So, and of course, you see that both Republicans and Democrats are trying to blame the people who took out the mortgages. Well, they shouldn't have taken on more debt than they were. Well, look, I'm sorry. These banks were out there slicing and dicing these mortgages for investments, and in order to get more securities that they could sell, in order to put more mortgages into the pool that they could then turn around and resell as investments, they were making loans that should not have been made. So, you know, there's blame to go around here, but of course the ones who are paying for it are the people who are getting kicked out on the street. Although maybe not for much longer if this continues. We'll see how it plays out. But the guys with the money, I mean, as we've seen over the last couple of years, the United States Congress seems to have a particularly blind spot when it comes to masses of enraged citizens. Because, you know, we have the majority of us opposed TARP 1, TARP 2. And
there will likely be a TARP 3 after the election.
That is very much what is probably coming down the pike.
We're going to get more and more angry, let me tell you, because what wasn't in the news today is what's going on over in the southeast, over in the China-Korea area, where the G20 is preparing to meet. The bigwigs will be arriving later on. Mm-hmm. But right now, they're frankly, the people who do the real work are over there right now hammering things out. And it's sort of Japan versus China. They got each other on the ropes, and they are daring each other to act responsibly on the exchange rate. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen the Japanese.
Well, and what's really cool is that Mean Gene Okerlund and Gorilla Monsoon are calling the action. And what's this? Oh, he tags in. North Korea is just tagged into the match, and he's carrying a foreign object. Come on, ref.
Look,
come
on. Pikachu's in there.
Call it. Anyway.
Oh, gosh. Any minute, Godzilla. Well, that's going on. And they're also talking about, not only talking about, and mind you, both the G20 and the IMF, and I've said this before, have been calling for a global currency. So they're over there talking about this. They're also talking about food price stabilization. Now, when you hear the word stabilization,
you mean
translated
price
into
controls.
Price hike.
Yeah. Well, yes. Price controls and price hike. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, folks, we've said it to you before. If you have any extra money each week, put it away in toilet paper and canned goods and water.
Things that will last for a while. Things that will last for a while. This is something that we talked about a bit at the conference in Canton. We are headed toward a one-world government. And we just see these.
Well, we are already there. It just hasn't drifted down to you and me yet.
True.
We're not really feeling it yet.
No.
But it is there.
Yeah.
Because when the G20 meets, that's the global government.
It might as well be because, the vast majority of the world's resources are represented there.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Oh, I wanted to say one more thing, speaking of food, lest I forget this. I heard on the radio today that, or maybe it was the television, but I did hear it. I think I was baking the red velvet cake at that moment.
Ah, for the church turkey supper, yes.
It was. I got to tell you, it was like a scene from, you know, Silence of the Lambs or something in the kitchen because I know. But any woman who has ever made a red velvet cake knows what I am talking about. I have red dye all over the clothes that I was wearing at the time. I had to get out the bleach to get it off the countertops.
Oh, my.
Now people are over at that dinner eating that cake.
As we record this, that's true, yeah.
It puts the bleach on the counter.
Oh. Oh, gosh. Well, anyway, okay, cakes aside, I was listening to the television broadcast as I was making the cake, and they were talking about gasohol and how the corn content, the alcohol that is made from the corn, can now be higher. It can now be 25%.
Now, the ethanol content.
Ethanol, thank you very much.
When we were in Missouri, that was a big deal.
I know,
because that's a big area for corn production. In fact, Shelbyville used to be called the official town motto was home of the world's finest corn or something to that effect. And they had this annual festival where they built the world's tallest corn shock, which was really weird.
Which was really shocking.
Well, when you see the pictures of it, it looks sort of like something out of Burning Man, but. That is, you know, a thing of the past now, where we've got a more modern logo.
No, I have to correct myself. I said 25. It is 15. Sorry.
Okay. All right.
15. But I think it's only 10.
In Missouri, they were promoting, was it E85, wasn't it?
Yes, they were, but not here in Indiana. I think a lot of states aren't doing it yet because only the newer cars can really run efficiently on that E85.
Right. Yeah, we weren't. That's.
In fact, the car that we had at the time,
E85 is actually 85% ethanol, so it's a different fuel altogether. So gasohol is mostly gasoline with a small.
Can we just stick corn down the, you know, just directly into the gas tank?
Well,
that was an early experiment.
Didn't quite work, but it is bizarre when you think about it that we are so wealthy as a nation. I mean, even with the economic downturn, that we're burning up food so that we can get around. We're burning up food to drive our cars.
That's exactly what it is. By the way, it is E15.
Okay.
It would be the 15%. So you're right.
So that's the ethanol. Right. The E85 was a big deal.
And there was no way that we could run on that.
No, our engine would not handle that.
No, it would not. So if you pull up to the pump, you might want to take a look at exactly what it is you're about to put in your car and make sure that your car can handle it. Because I got to tell you, once you get bad gas in, it's tough on your engine.
Yeah. Now, there have been a lot of places that have put an ethanol mixture into the fuel. If I'm not mistaken, when we lived in St. Louis, a lot of the fuel that we bought had a, you know, 10 or 15% ethanol content.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And when I lived, even back in the day, back in the Stone Age, when, frankly, cars had, you ran by, you know, running your little feet
on the
ground.
The Flintstone thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's back in the day. When I lived in Nebraska and we farmed there, we were running on ethanol. It was probably like 5 or 10% then. Mm-hmm. I mean, because Nebraska is the home of corn.
Yeah.
And a lot of the pumps there, you know, you could get this blended gasoline.
Right.
However, beef growers are not happy about this because they're paying through the nose right now for feed as it is.
Well, and that's something we talked about a couple of years ago when this trend really took off. And I knew some farmers when we were out in Columbia, sang with some of them there in the Chordbusters barbershop chorus, who were doing well. And, you know, we can't begrudge a family farmer who actually has an opportunity to do well.
No, actually, we want the farmers to do well because that means that they'll keep growing
exactly.
the food.
And hopefully preserve some independent family-owned farms in this country. But the fact is they were taking up acreage that could have gone to other crops. It was taking corn that could have gone to food, whether for humans or for feeding livestock, and burning it, burning it to move our vehicles around, which is insane, especially when you consider that the energy value produced by a gallon of ethanol is less than the amount of energy it takes to grow the corn.
It is a negative return.
Yes. And on top of that, with the additional acreage being fertilized, they found that there were actually algae blooms down in the delta, the Mississippi River Delta, because all this stuff is washing into streams, rivers going downstream, and it's encouraging more algae growth down there, which is bad for the fish because they're sucking up oxygen out of the water. So there's a negative, a dark side to this that you don't hear about from the radical environmentalists. It's actually taken more energy to produce the clean green fuel, and leading
not very green, is it?
It isn't. So what's the purpose then? What's the true goal? If something doesn't make sense on its face, if something seems like the product of a clinically disordered mind, then maybe there's another agenda at work here. Just, you know, like I keep trying to figure out, and I was caught some flack the other day for a blog post that I put up. And then I wrote a column, which expanded that into a column, which is now up at hearkenthewatchman.com, mm-hmm. on getting out of Afghanistan, because it doesn't make any sense for us to be there. We've been there 9 years, and we still control so little of the country that it's estimated we literally pay out hundreds of millions of dollars a year in protection money to the Taliban so they won't attack the trucks that carry supplies to our troops in the forward operating bases. Mm-hmm. It is so dangerous outside Kabul that we have to pay the Taliban, the United States military, the most powerful fighting force in the history of planet Earth, must pay the enemy not to attack its supply trucks. Now, does that sound like a formula for victory? No, it's nuts. And there's no strategic objective there. So maybe there's another reason we're there. Perhaps it's to attack Iran. Perhaps it's to eventually widen the war into Pakistan. Maybe it's just, coincidence that the annual production of opium poppies has increased every year since we invaded. Well, except for this year when a fungus reduced the crop to about half of last year's levels. But the street
I honestly think, Derek, that the opium thing is a side benefit. I don't think that that's the main reason that we're in Afghanistan.
No. But, just the fact...
It's all about oil on the human side.
It may
very
well
be.
But
I think there's a spiritual reason why mm-hmm. we are in Afghanistan.
Yeah. So, anyway, the point being that there's something, some other reason than the reason that we are told by our elected officials that we're there to get rid of the Taliban.
Do you think the Taliban is getting together in a circle and praying for Barack Obama right now?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure they were praying for that border crossing to be opened, because that was cutting
into
supplies.
I'm trying to segue to another story.
I know, and I'm gonna jump to the story. I'm gonna jump there too.
So much time.
Yes, but you are correct, and that is a valid question. In fact, it's a question raised by Michelle Obama herself in a radio interview with Tom Joyner today.
Once again, we have the power. You know, we got this man in office. I think we're all proud of Barack and his accomplishments. Everybody I know in our communities are praying for us.
Yes.
Every day we feel that. And let me just tell your listeners that it means all the world to us to know that there are prayer circles out there and people who are keeping the spirits clean around us.
Yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
Well, thank you, Michelle. We didn't know that you were in the bunker, but, I got to admit, who's that guy you brought with you?
Oh, Tom Joyner. He's
Syndicated
radio host.
I got to tell you, I apologize for stepping on your clip there. I hadn't realized you were ready to hit the button.
Sorry.
That's okay, honey.
You have to work out better hand signals.
Well, ordinarily Sam does that. He does that grunt work.
It's the only part of him that we can see at the moment is
his backside.
Yeah, sticking out from underneath the binky. She raises an interest. That was an
clean
interesting
spirits.
Point. Yes, we got to keep the spirits clean around. What I've not heard that phrase used that way before. What exactly is she saying?
These spirits are clean.
How do you keep the spirits clean? Do you use bleach?
I don't know.
Do you use some sort of
Let them get around a red
product velvet
cake mix. That's all I can say. It concerns me because, frankly, I've been in a lot of churches. I mean, a lot of churches of every stripe you can throw at me. And I've never heard a phrase like that. Keeping the spirits clean through prayer.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard phrase clean spirits.
Yeah. Prayer circles, keeping the spirits clean around the Obamas.
Hmm. Yeah. You know, that kind of reminds me of something you and I were talking about before we started the show. And that was a women's group calling themselves Kyria. K-Y-R-A-I-A.
Yeah. This is actually a magazine that's a spinoff of Christianity Today, which many evangelical Christians consider a conservative magazine. It's been around since the Eisenhower administration.
If you know your Greek, you know that roughly translates to lady.
Yeah.
So, you know, if it's a women's magazine, you can understand that. But if you've ever sung any Latin liturgical songs, you understand Kyrie eleison is Lord have mercy on us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In other words, it's used in the Greek New Testament to refer to the Lord God Almighty.
Yeah.
So when you call yourselves Kyria, that concerns me a little bit.
Yeah, it is an online magazine. I guess it has a print edition, but the so-called, what they call digizine or e-zine, electronic magazine, is broken down into a number of sections, you know, including missional life, women's ministry, church leadership, marriage and family, and spiritual formation, which includes a subsection titled Spiritual Disciplines. And
is that the daily affirmations you were talking to me about? Oh no, that was else. Oh, sorry.
No, the daily affirmation stuff. That was Rick Warren. He from an article he wrote for Ladies Home Journal about 2005.
Kyria Home Journal.
Yeah. Rick Warren shows that it really is all about you. This spiritual discipline section of this Kyria.com has the top two articles here in this spiritual formation section. Spiritual disciplines is all about contemplative prayer, basically, about being alone, being silent, and just opening yourself up to the rich soul-making silence that is divine love. Now,
what?
The rich soul-making
silence that is divine love.
Right. So they're taking be still and know that he is God to the extreme, which is, again, these are disciplines that...
No, this sounds more like be still and know that I am God.
Meaning, yes, a very Eastern thing. God is all and all our God. And he and me and you and we are goo-goo-goo-joo.
We are all together.
Yeah, it's derives from medieval mystics. And I'll refrain from using the phrase Christian mystics because I think that's a misnomer. If you're engaging
that's an oxymoron.
If you're engaging in these spiritual disciplines, then you're ignoring the very clear commands in Scripture not to engage the spirit realm. There's a difference between meditating on the word of the Lord, which we are called to do in Scripture, but that is basically studying it and trying to understand it better. That is not simply shutting down and opening up your mind and entering an altered state of consciousness.
Right.
Which, I think I'll use this again because I think Mike Hoggard put it beautifully. It's essentially shutting down the spiritual firewall that God has built into us when we're conscious. And this is being put out there again at Kyria.com, which is the electronic magazine published by Christianity Today.
And at the same time, as we mentioned just a few minutes ago, Rick Warren is advocating essentially Stuart Smalley's daily affirmations.
Yeah, and almost a word faith kind of thing. We talked about this a little bit the other day, but Ken Silva at Apprising Ministries, apprising.org, has been really on this. He pointed out that, and in fact, I think the book is, the book was officially released, Your Divine Destiny, or it's by Dr. Laverne Adams, was released on 10-10-10 this past Sunday. And features a foreword written by Rick Warren, who apparently, according to Dr. Adams, contacted her some time back. And he is recommending her book and the very practical plan, as Warren writes in his foreword, a very practical plan not only determining what your God-given destiny is, but provides a way to help move you forward in fulfilling your destiny. Again, kind of a word faith thing that, you know, God has this destiny laid out for you, but it's up to you to make it happen. And if you follow the steps included in this book, these however many steps there are, you can fulfill the destiny God has for you. Well, you know, again,
I'm sorry, Lord Jesus Christ. I know that you gave your life and rose again, but I'm sorry, that's just not enough.
Right. Well, the daily declaration, the divine destiny declaration mantra from Dr. Destiny, which is what Dr. Laverne Adams calls herself, Dr. Destiny, my ears are in tune with God so that I can hear God's revelation clearly regarding every area of my life. I tune my hearing through fervent prayer, study, meditation, praise, and worship as I yield to the... And it goes on from there, but it's essentially that you are writing your own destiny by declaring it. Now, it's a sort of a name it and claim it, word faith sort of thing.
I just want to say that if you are listening to just this little excerpt that Derek just read, because it, honestly, it sounds fine.
Right, right.
But when you take it into full context of what is coming out of Saddleback, it really concerns me.
Yeah, and the point that Ken Silva is making with highlighting this section of the book by Dr. Adams is that the point is you're supposed to write down these dreams that you have and these dreams that you know, you believe God has shown you, and repeat them daily. Repeat them like a mantra. Repeat them like, well, you know, the prayer of Jabez, and then God will fulfill them for you. In other words, it's if you do this, then God must do that.
That sounds like Kabbalah.
It sounds like casting a spell.
Yes, it does. I mean, there are things within Kabbalah that really sort of are like this.
Mm-hmm.
Things you write down and you repeat. They
yes.
really are very much like spells.
Again, from the book, as you nurture them, your dreams, by reviewing and saying them daily, you give your dreams the power to materialize. This is a living
that
document.
That is Kabbalah.
Yep, yep. And it's not a surprise that she lists as one of her mentors Chuck Pierce, who is into Kabbalah.
Can you back that up?
Yes, I can. I'll put a link to that in the show notes so that you think I'm not pulling this out of thin air. But there's a fellow out there whose name escapes me at the moment who did this, did a study on Chuck Pierce, his so-called prophecies, and documented how he was drawing these from Kabbalah.
That's very disturbing.
It is disturbing because Chuck Pierce is the heir apparent as the leading apostle. What's the word? I can't think of the word that he's supposed to take over the presiding apostle of the International Coalition of Apostles from C. Peter Wagner. And I will put the link to the research that shows where Mr. Pierce is taking his so-called prophecies from Kabbalah.
You know what really angers me about this is that, you know, the leaders at the top, they are responsible to the Lord God Almighty, and they will stand before him.
Right.
And he will bring these things to their memories, just like the things that you and I and all of our listeners, every one of us has a whole list
mm-hmm.
that is not going to survive the fire. Now, whether or not these people, let's assume that all of these men that we're talking, men and women, they're all Christians. Let's assume that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just really doing some really out there things that they're going to be responsible for. They are leading a lot of people astray.
Yeah.
It's those people who depend on them, who listen to them, who really believe them. When Chuck Pierce says this is what's going to happen, and they absolutely believe that that's
yes.
going to happen on that date. That's no different than the guy who said, you know, October 13th, you're going to see UFOs all over the, and I'll bet you anything tomorrow he comes out and says, well, it didn't happen, but I foresee next February that it's, you know, or whatever he says.
Right, right. The date will keep getting pushed out there.
The stupendous yeah. yappy.
Sort of like those ID tracking cookies that Google puts on your computer.
I know.
Every time you visit a Google site.
So are we
site.
Going until 6:55?
We are. So
okay.
We just have a couple of minutes left. So
no.
Anyway, 10/13, anniversary date of the founding or the laying of the cornerstone of the White House back in 1792.
I'm glad you remembered to bring that in because that's why I said, oh. And I was also going to share my cake recipe with everyone, but
we'll
just have to get that another day.
And of course, 1917, the miracle of the sun, quote unquote, Fatima.
Right.
Yep.
That is right.
And that was witnessed. Yeah, witnessed by about 70,000 people in Fatima, Portugal. Another manifestation that ties the UFO phenomenon to the spirit realm.
Mm.
Yeah. So anyway, well, happy 10/13. No, nothing in the air over Shelbyville. So, and we attribute that to the protection of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And in small part to Sam, because Sam says.
And to Sam, you better believe it, and to all your prayers out there. We so appreciate it. Thank
yeah.
you very much.
Yeah. Well, back tomorrow again, God willing. And until then, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. content copyright Gilbert House and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear, a better day is coming soon.